Hey, business owners, quick question. When someone hears your phone number, do they remember it? Or does it get lost in the noise like every other 10-digit jumble? Let's fix that with Ring Boost, the go-to service for custom phone numbers that makes your business stand out. Whether you're running a small business or scaling something big, the right number makes it ridiculously easy for customers to remember you and actually call. You can grab a local number to connect with your regional audience or even a custom toll-free number like 1-800-HOME-CARE or 833-ROOFERS. Seriously, they've got options for every industry. Imagine you're a plumber. Would you rather your number end in 241-8297 or 888-LEAK? No brainer, right? And here's the best part. It's super affordable, super easy, and it can help drive more calls, more leads, and more trust. So, if you're ready to sound like the business people want to call, head over to ringboost.com and use promo code STRANGE for an exclusive discount. That's ringboost.com, promo code STRANGE. RingBoost, because voice matters.
Hey, Kristen, how's it tracking?
With Carvana Value Tracker?
What else?
Oh, it's tracking. In fact, Value Surge Alert, trucks up 2.5%, vans down 1.7%.
Just as predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So, we gonna...
I don't know. Could sell, could hold.
The power to always know our car's worth.
Exhilarating, isn't it?
Tracking.
Always know your car's worth with Carvana Value Tracker.
Abercrombie's Shorts and Swim Sale is live, and they're giving Spotify listeners an extra 15% off with code SWIMAF. Abercrombie's Shorts and Swim Trunks come in so many fits and fabrics, it's easy to find your go-to pair. Prep for summer during Abercrombie's Shorts and Swim Sale. Excludes clearance, online price reflects discount. Use code SWIMAF to get an additional 15% off almost everything at checkout from May 8th, 2025 through May 12th, 2025. Offer valid in US and Canada. Exclusions apply. See details online.
Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, following the truth wherever it leads, exposing evil and corruption and the secret machinations of powerful elites, revealing the high strangeness beneath the surface of our supposed reality, coming to you from the Great White North and his studio beneath the stairs. Here's Richard.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another installment of Strange Planet. All right, buckle up for a mind-bending journey into the shadows of secrecy with UFO crash retrieval expert Ryan Wood. What if extraterrestrial craft have not only visited Earth but crashed here, leaving behind technology so advanced it could rewrite human history? From buried alien bodies to covert military ops, Ryan will pull back the curtain on over 70 alleged crash sites and the explosive majestic documents that might just prove the government's been hiding the truth for decades. Is the deep state waging a war on disclosure? Are private corporations hoarding alien tech? And what's the real cost of keeping this cosmic secret? All right. Ryan Wood is a leading authority on UFO crash retrievals with over 20 years of relentless research into the declassified files, whistleblower accounts, and physical evidence. He's the author of Magic Eyes Only, Earth's Encounters with Extraterrestrial Technology. He's cataloged over 70 alleged crash cases, exposing covert government operations and suppressed alien technology. He's the publisher of the controversial Majestic Documents, and he's sparked global debate about their authenticity and implications. He's a frequent guest on History Channel, Discovery, and major documentaries. He's also the mastermind behind the Crash Retrieval Conference, and he'll be speaking at Contact in the Desert 2025. That's happening May 29th to June 2nd. And Ryan continues to challenge the boundaries of disclosure, demanding answers to human's greatest mystery. Ryan, welcome to Strange Planet. How are you?
Great, Richard. Thanks for that glowing intro. I'm excited to share my insights with your audience.
So you've cataloged, as I mentioned, over 70 crash retrieval cases. How many involve credible evidence of non-human biological entities? And then maybe get into what you would find or would say is the most disturbing detail that you've uncovered about their recovery.
Yeah, I mean, Magic Eyes Only was first published in 2005, which had 74 crash retrievals. But I recently updated it in 2024, and it has now 104 crashes from around the world. And they vary in authenticity and sophistication and evidence, really, from a simple one-page entry with a credible newspaper article or government document to something as robust and well-researched with lots of multiple books and multiple investigators such as Roswell or Kexburg or Shag Harbor or Cape Girardeau. I want to set the sort of tone for the crashes is that there's a needle of authenticity that can wiggle back and forth from a sort of a neutral starting point of, well, okay, we got some preliminary evidence and now we got to push this needle towards, no, my goodness, it's truly real. And there's a bunch of reasons why, or towards the negative side, where there's been more investigation and we've now sort of debunked that or removed its likelihood. So that's the sort of context. And I not alone have done all this work, although I'm the primary investigator on Cape Girardeau UFO crash and helped on some other ones. But I really assembled all these various experts in various different crashes to come to the UFO Crash Retrieval Conference, which ran from 2003 to 2008, and present their evidence for a particular crash and have an interchange and provide tools. So that's sort of the preliminary context for your question. And we can dive deeper into the other elements of your question.
Right. So the evidence for non-human biological entities or alien bodies, if you will, evidence for that.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of all over the map. I mean, in the leaked Majestic documents, they definitely talk about the bodies recovered from Roswell. And in one of the other leaked documents in the Majestic Documents book, they talk about, this is in 1952, about, let me just read the paragraph. This is under biological warfare programs. BW programs in the US and UK are in field test stages. Discovery of a new virus and bacteria strain so lethal that serums derived from the genetic research can launch medical science into unheard of fields of biology. The samples extracted from the bodies found in New Mexico, but give the promise of the ultimate BW weapon, .. So there's an example of you know, what they did with the bodies, which is highly disturbing. Now, did they destroy all that? Did they save it? Is it all at Fort Detrick, Maryland, or someplace in Utah, in these level four biological containment facilities, along with sort of enhanced strains of COVID, et cetera? likely. I just don't think that they would have destroyed them, but maybe they have. And if you got access to the bodies, you can do it again. And so that's maybe one of the most disturbing aspects. Roswell is where most likely they had bodies. I mean, Cape Girardeau in 1941, you know, 6 years before Roswell, they had three dead bodies that were recovered, according to the deathbed confession of granddaughter Charlotte Mann about Reverend Huffman's providing blessings to these dead aliens in spring or fall of 41. So those are a couple of the obvious cases. Mm. There's a few other ones that are sort of in my, you know, gray basket, so to speak, of you know, Kingman or I'd have to look through and sort of get a list. I should do that for Contact in the Desert, is to sort of give you a list of all the cases where we had bodies and how many bodies, give a total body count. Hopefully that answers the question.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fairly recent testimony from whistleblower David Grush talking about biologics being recovered. Do you find his testimony credible?
Oh, I do. I mean, we were 2003 was the first crash retrieval conference, and 20 years later, 2023, David Grush finally shows up and said, "Yeah, crashes are real, bodies are real." And that was exciting point. Now the kids believe me. Dad's not crazy. And the world is sort of like woken up to a more deep understanding that this could really be true. At the same time, I'm reminded of Obama's interview on Jimmy Kimmel Live, where he says, Jimmy Kimmel asked him, "I'd want to know about the aliens," and he said, "Well, the aliens don't want us to tell you, and furthermore, the aliens are in charge." I think there may be some truth to that, in certain subtle ways.
There's so many videos and photographs floating around on YouTube and so forth of alien interviews. The interview with the alien video. I mean, I've done many shows on that, and photographs of dead aliens. Are any, to your mind, that you've seen credible?
That's a great question. The question is, how do you define credibility? And the credibility in whose eyes? Is it credibility in the scientific community? Everything can be faked. But these are old pictures and documents, and that gets harder to, quote, fake them and survive good forensic testing. There was one book that, or one image that was in my first crash retrieval book, which is on Amazon, but it's wildly expensive, like $250 or something, because it's the first generation. There was a limited number of copies, and it was a picture of an alien in a sort of a bubble coffin and a military soldier standing behind it. The source is unknown. The picture's interesting. It's hard to determine, whose military uniform that is. It doesn't, it's not Russian, it's not American. It's, I think more of a South American style military uniform and hat. So you just have to start, when you get photographs, you got to start going, well, do the FBI thing. Okay, where'd you get it? How do we know it's real? Et cetera. So it's hard to know on many cases like that.
All right, so let's dive into MJ-12, Majestic 12. And just imagine for a moment, there may be some people, maybe they've heard of MJ-12, they've heard of Majestic 12, but they don't really know much about this shadowy group. Tell us everything you think we need to know about MJ-12. Who are they? What are they? How did they get started? What do they do?
That's a very complicated question. Probably have taken a couple parts, but just for a broad brush, there's some 3,500 pages of leaked Majestic documents spanning 18, 19 years, from seven different sources or so. And they range in quality from top secret code word to top secret to confidential to somebody cleaned out their file cabinet with, relevant sort of newspaper articles, and photographs. There's a bunch of photographs too, with markings on it. So that's sort of the cadre. Now, the first document was leaked in 1984 as undeveloped film to Jamie Chandra, which is a Los Angeles television producer, called the Eisenhower Briefing Document, and it was leaked just a month or so after the last person listed on this group dies. And so That is the first document. And Stanton Friedman wrote a book about this. And this is sort of before my father, Dr. Robert Wood, and I got like full into the Majestic Documents. And so there was a lot of research and investigation into the authenticity of that. And it's not just that one leak. There has been a couple other supporting leaks that are of the same document, but they're slightly different in the fact that they weren't filmed, they were photocopies, they have different sort of subtle forensics, not in content, but around the paper and the staple marks and the three-hole punches and little things that just say, well, this is a different sort of source potentially. But then the mother lode, the most powerful document of all the Majestic documents happens in 1994, called Extraterrestrial Entities, Technology, Recovery, and Disposal, or what's called the Special Operations Manual 1-01. And that is leaked as undeveloped film, mailed to Don Berliner in Washington, D.C., who is a aviation space and reporter. And that's where my father, came in and helped Don recover or to print these documents and begin to authenticate and retype them and try to go into every little subtlety. So this is the document that we're talking about, Special Operations Manual. And it's got fingers in the photographs of the person holding it open and things like that. It's sort of a how-to manual, but it clearly states in the manual that, according to President Truman's Special Classified Executive Order of September 24th, 1947, the establishment of top secret research and development intelligence gathering organization be established called Majestic 12. And so there you have a clear statement about the establishment of it, and it also it's echoed in the Eisenhower briefing document that was leaked earlier. So that's sort of when it gets established. And so, Truman, we have Roswell in the summer of 47, and all summer long they're analyzing and working hard and trying to figure out these ET evidence and bodies, and presents it all to President Truman along with Wiedemeyer and Forrestal and many of these other top-level senior officials. And Truman says, well, let's establish the CIA, let's split up the Army and the Air Force, and let's establish the National Security Agency at this time. And this is when the world sort of, or the government classified world begins its deep state origin, so to speak.
And are there any specific details about who comprised MJ-12? And do we have all their names?
That's a great question, and the answer is we have some. It's not clear we have all their names. We start with the original list, which is in the Eisenhower briefing document, which lists 12 members of Army, Air Force, administration, and so forth. And then over time, no doubt the constituents or the membership of the group evolves. And there's, and when we say membership of the group, it's sort of a tricky wicket. I mean, there's a top-level membership, these MJ-12 members. But then when you think about, well, we got to reverse engineer this technology, we have a group of people that are dedicated to the biology, for example. So these are experts in Dr. Detlef Bronk and Charles Ethan Ray and other people that have this biological expertise. They get read in on the biology problem, and they didn't learn anything about the physics or the materials or artifacts. And then you have a different group that's focusing on different aspects of propulsion. I think it's probably three groups. It's biology, propulsion, and everything else, weapons, clothing, navigation, communications, etc.
Is there an aspect of MJ-12 dedicated to keeping a lid on what really happened at Roswell and other
Yeah, that's
crashes
a
and
good. Yeah, that's a good point, Richard, is that there is bound to be a counterintelligence aspect, particularly during the Cold War. You know, we just got burned with the Russians penetrating the atomic bomb, and James Jesus Angleton, the head of counterintelligence of the CIA, was responsible for, you know, managing and keeping the greatest secret in his mind, which is basically gravity control and our alien tech. And so by all means, they had lots of people thinking about that and working at it. And actually, for me personally, at the latest, well, last year at the Mutual UFO Network annual conference, one clearly Navy SEAL type, you know, 6'4", 240-pound guy came up and talked to me. He said, you know, Ryan, you got to remember that the cover stories and the counterintelligence aspects are sometimes as much or more money is spent on that than protecting the secret, or I mean, than investigating the technology or the secret. So I think that nowadays the cover stories are fully in effect, and for the most part, they ignore ufology and ufology's expertise and interest, and you know, they just discredit anybody that gains credibility, and that's their approach.
Join Target Circle 360 and get a free bouquet of flowers for mom right on time for Mother's Day. From the trendiest styles to the sweetest treats, with Target Circle 360, you can get all her gifts delivered the same day. Hurry, join before Mother's Day and make her day extra special with Target Circle 360 and a bouquet of fresh flowers on us, only at Target. Membership required, subject to terms and conditions. Applies to orders over $35.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want is a great feeling. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can choose to bundle and save with the personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Chevy Silverado. When it's time for you to ditch the blacktop and head off-road, do it in a truck that says no to nothing. The Chevy Silverado Trail Boss. Get the rugged capability of its Z71 suspension and 2-inch factory lift. Plus, impressive torque and towing capacity thanks to an available Duramax 3-liter turbo diesel engine. Where other trucks call it quits, you'll just be getting started. Visit Chevy.com to learn more.
As you're staring up at the night sky, ever wonder who's staring back? You're listening to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
The aspect of MJ-12 charged with back engineering, are they or were they to work in concert with private corporations like Boeing or Lockheed Martin? Were they sort of ensconced within those corporations?
Well, that's a great question, Richard. And well, the government doesn't have the expertise, even in Roswell and 47. I mean, there's one leaked document which it talks about the University of Chicago's metallurgical laboratory, and there's a list of, you know, 30 names of scientists that may not have known where this came from, but were handed a piece of material or saucer skin or a variety of different materials and say, you know, what is this? What can we learn about this? What, how do you make this? You know, you got a mass spectrometer. Go figure out what the elements of this is. Can you figure out the atomic structure? and do a lot of science. And all the the great physicists of the world or various vertical sciences are tied up in corporations or research think tanks, so RAND Corporation or Bechtel or Aerospace Corporation or EG&G or Northrop or Lockheed Martin Skunk Works, more of today, and some of the historical organizations, like Lear Ziegler Group, or there's a lot of older organizations that have been absorbed or changed. The Glenn L. Martin Company became Martin Marietta, which became a Lockheed Martin, and the guys at Lockheed Martin today have no bloody clue as to what the scientists did at Glenn L. Martin Company in the late 50s, because they don't have access to the history or the files or the details, and I'm not sure that the internal libraries of these corporations have kept up with what all the classified material was or is.
So there was retrieval, recovery, there was back engineering, and then you also said disposal. What does that mean exactly?
In the context of the Special Operations Manual, I think it's about not disposal in typical sense of let's put it in the trash can, but it's more package it up, send it to the right spot. And in the Special Operations Manual, they have a table, which sort of ratchets down. They say, under aircraft, for example, intact operational semi-intact aircraft of extraterrestrial design and manufacturer, stamp it with the code UA 002-6 and send it to Area 51 S4. Or in a different one, identified fragments. So fragments composed of elements of materials easily recognizable as known to current science and technology, i.e., aluminum, magnesium, plastic, etc., send to Area 51 S4. Or this one, living entities, STAR. Living non-human organisms in apparent good and reasonable health, send to OPNAC BBS01. OPNAC is a, well, there's multiple facilities, but there's one facility in Olean, Maryland, which is a biological facility. So you know, living organisms, you want to house them in places where you can take care of them. It's the jail for aliens. And so, I mean, that gives you a flavor for
Sure,
what's going on there.
sure. And with the creation of MJ-12 in 47, is there any oversight here? Who ultimately do they answer to?
It's a great question. Well, a little bit earlier than 47, I mean, we had the crash in Magenta, according to Rush, in 33. We had the Cape Girardeau crash. And, before the CIA, there was what's called OSS, Office of Strategic Services. And within the Air Force, there was Assistant Chief of Staff of Intelligence, Stephen J. Chamberlain, and he had a technical and scientific branch called the Interplanetary Phenomenon Unit, the IPU, which has been acknowledged by Freedom of Information Act requests that it exists and is real. And those are the guys that had to deal with the 33 and the Cape Girardeau crash and sort of manage all that, and then it got officially created into Majestic 12 and the reverse engineering efforts in 47. So I think there was something else in your question that I missed.
Oversight. Who do they answer to?
Oversight, yes, thank you. So I think in the IPU time frame, yeah, the Air Force was in charge and got it, and when the you know, when Majestic 12 was established, the president was sort of in charge with Truman. And I think that was pretty stable. And Dr. Vannevar Bush, technically, with the Office of Research and Development. But then it came to Eisenhower's administration, and, you know, he was briefed on a variety of aspects of this. And of course, we have the Eisenhower briefing document. And he famously warned against undue power of the military-industrial complex. And that's when I think things started to get maybe a little bifurcated, in that potentially some aspects of Majestic 12 would report to the president and some would not, or they would be squirreled away, or, you know, the president walks in and asks the CIA or director, today even, you know, tell me what's going on with UFOs. You know, well, why, sir, why do you want to know? Well, I want to know whether or not there's a threat to our government and society. Well, we've studied this problem extensively. We can write up a short brief for you about that. But yeah, no, it's not a problem. They're not here to take over. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why. Okay. Aren't you kind of busy, sir, with your tariffs and your other activities in the world? Why don't you concentrate on that and leave the alien problem to us? They're not a threat. But that's the one extreme. And I think over time, there's a clear possibility. I don't know this for sure, but many people have argued this, that there's this breakaway civilization. There's this breakaway organization. You know, Dr. Michael Sala has promulgated that in his podcast and his books, Selected by and even my father, who edited Bill Tompkins' work for multiple books, talked about, you know, the extraterrestrial entities and really they're in control and so forth. So the answer is, if I was betting, I would say yes, there is somebody else that aspects of the evidence and phenomenon report to outside of governmental channels.
You mentioned not directly by name, but off inference with tariffs, Donald Trump. And this administration has been marked by, you know, disclosures or declassifications, JFK files and so forth. Are there receipts, do you think, out there that sitting in, a dusty desk drawer someplace or a box in a warehouse, receipts from MJ-12 that could be declassified?
Yes, I think there are. There's sort of two buckets, or maybe multiple buckets, but there's there's the bucket in the National Archives, which in College Park, Maryland, and the various other presidential archives, which I consider to be circumstantial or weakly supportive evidence of Majestic 12. And I'll give you one example. Like the Advanced Scientific Group in 1947 at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base was responsible for doing all sorts of reverse engineering analysis from the Roswell crash. And I found the work of Dr. Zimmerman and his cadre in the National Archives. And there was this, you know, thick folder about this thick. And the first page in there was, you know, dear General Twining, who was in charge of this at the time. Thank you so much for your recent visit and your help over the summer. And it was just a love letter. But then the next, you know, half inch of paper is all missing. Mm. You know, and you know it's missing because the file folder is was creased over and stacked up, and it was clear that it was once full of material, but then it was gone. And so that's one example. And then the other examples are you get little hints of, you know, who was where, when, at what time, or why is General Marshall's desk calendar completely missing from, you know, June to September at the Virginia Military Institute, when all the other years are all there, from dentist appointments to meetings to this, that, the other thing. So you had missing stuff, and then sort of subtle hints. And then on the other side that we were talking about is that the real stuff, you know, the counterintelligence guys have swept this all up and compartmentalized and kept this this history potentially at the CIA or at Area 51 S4 or some other organization that's responsible for the films and the pictures and the intelligence analysis. Because they need all that, because they need the context. So that's a long-winded answer to your question.
MJ-12, does it still exist?
Oh, yeah. You'd have to. Maybe it's not called MJ-12 anymore. Maybe it's called Zodiac. Maybe it's called something else. Or there's different compartments and different... You'd have to maintain the secrecy. I mean, if you believe that crashes are real and we got alien bodies and reverse engineering the tech, yeah, you got to keep it secret. And other countries and organizations may have similar but far less sophisticated or robust organizations. But this sort of goes to the great crime against humanity, or all of humanity, is that they think that 1,000 cloistered scientists working underground for 5-year stints under constant surveillance and lie detector tests and so forth is any match in any way to the millions and tens of millions of brilliant scientists and engineers across the globe who could make tremendous progress on reverse engineering this tech for the benefit of humanity. You know, they may say, well, we're not going to give you the anti-gravity tech, but now let's talk about saucer skins or other materials or other aspects of the evidence. And the bad guys may say, well, we've sort of done that anyway. We've leaked a few things through patents to various military organizations, or not military, but defense contractors. And but that brings up the quagmire of, well, why did they get selected? Why didn't I get selected? And then the contractors are suing each other over, you got the ET tech and I didn't get the ET tech. What's you know, it's not fair. ..
Hey there, travelers. Kaylee Cuoco here. Sorry to interrupt your music, great artist, BT Dubs, but wouldn't you rather be there to hear it live? With Priceline, you can get out of your dreams and into your dream concert. They've got millions of travel deals to get you to that festival, gig, rave, soundbath, or sonic experience you've been dreaming of. Download the Priceline app today, and you can save up to 60% off hotels and up to 50% off flights. So don't just dream about that trip. Book it with Priceline.
Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Richard Serrett's Strange Planet.
Who funds the new version of MJ-12? And, for example, could the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff get read into that program?
Well, that's a great question. I think that in part, possibly, you know, if we have sort of mastered gravity control, and there are maybe some super secret military assets that somebody like the Joint Chiefs might be aware of them, you know, a flying triangle with, you know, advanced weapons or something like that. It's possible. And I'm reminded of the quote from Ben Rich, who the head of Lockheed Skunk Works for 15 years, that upon his retirement at UCLA in 1993 in a public forum says, "We have the technology to take ET home. We found a mistake in the equations." A mistake in the equations. Wait a second. That's like human beings make equations. It won't take a lifetime to go to the stars or to, you know, other, which implies that they sort of conquered time travel in essence and gravity control, and that the thoughts of Einstein and Tesla and Newton are not quite right. And the understanding of the physics there is wrong. So that's sort of the reality of the sort of breakthrough aspect of physics. And
how are they funded? How is this organization?
That's a good question. How are they funded? Well, I mean, in the past, I think it just came out of the military budget or the black budget. And I think probably most of it does, sort of up to a point. But I suspect that if you can go to the moon, you can start or whip over to Saturn. And in the rings of Saturn, there's just rings of diamonds. Yeah, you can just scoop them up and start selling them on planet Earth, and begin to get your own revenue sources. If you can manipulate gravity, you can manipulate physics. You can turn lead into gold. I mean, it's not simple. It takes work. It's science, da-da-da. And there's probably ways of creating your own revenue sources. I mean,
no doubt.
Other foreign countries literally counterfeit U.S. money all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just like, oh my goodness, give me $5 million and an island and some talent, and I can do it.
Assuming that the government has alien tech, what one might ask, you know, why haven't we seen it weaponized in conflicts like Iraq or Ukraine, or have we? Maybe, and it's just too advanced for us to recognize.
That's a great question. I think the answer is you don't want to tip your hand and tell everybody that you have it, and reserve it for an appropriate time or place. I mean, there's speculation that even in the latest attack on Israel from Iran, that you know, there was a flying triangle zapping missiles or something like that. I don't have any idea whether or not that's true or not, but it's just out there as a scenario. And I think if I was in charge of the military, I wouldn't want to expose my best secrets unless I really had to, or there's something really important. You know, the fact that Ukraine and Russia are going at each other, okay, it's annoying and waste resources, et cetera. It's, you know, the ETs are going to be pissed if you start exploding nukes. Is it does like rip holes in the continuum of space-time, and it just doesn't look good for their management of planet Earth in the eyes of the quote Galactic Federation or, you know, the other advanced civilizations that may, you know, okay guys, you took over Earth, or you're guiding it towards a better outcome. You know, your number one goals are no nukes, clean that up. Don't let them screw up their environment so bad that the planet basically loses its atmosphere and becomes junk, like every other place. And by the way, have some humanity and get these people to stop fighting each other, feed them and educate them. And maybe in 50 years or 30 years or 40 years, that you can join the galactic kindergarten. So I think that's their thinking or their approach.
I want to get back to crash sites, UFO crash sites, and you've studied anomalous radiation at these crash sites. Could these, do you think these incidents are exposing humans to dangerous ET materials? And is the government covering up health risks to the recovery teams?
Covering up health risks, I don't think so. But did they have a rude awakening at Roswell when the guys in the best chemical hazmat suits and garb of 47 from the Sandia Engineering District at Kirkland Air Force Base came to Roswell and tried to pick up the bodies and put them in the bags and or maybe they didn't use bags or coffins or something. Several of them were extremely sick and died of profuse bleeding of the nose and mouth, according to some of the Majestic documents. So they suddenly said, "Whoops, we have to up our game a lot when dealing with this." And even the special operations manual talks about wait till the OPNAC personnel get here to handle any of the bodies. And I'm sure that they're now, in full bubble suits, the best thing for handling biological warfare and materials to get them. And they may have learned a little bit about the alien biology. Well, if it's a gray, they're nasty and their fluids are dangerous. If it's a reptilian, we have a different set of problems. If it's a Nordic or a Pleiadian, we have a different set of problems. And so they would think through those problems. But it's important to be careful with these bodies.
You've written about or talked about disinformation poisoning UFO research. So are there certain crash stories, I don't know, maybe Aztec or Kecksburg, you feel were maybe planted to muddy the waters and discredit real cases?
It's an interesting question. Planted. I'm not sure I can think of any that were quote planted. I think there's many that are they couldn't possibly be planted, but they're in the under investigated ca class or the sort of neutral class is like, what do you do with an account where you have a craft allegedly come down at the edge of a lake in the UK, and there's a few policemen and citizens that see it, but then everybody's sworn to secrecy and it disappears, and there's not a lot of discussion. It's most of the time in the special operations manual, for example, they have how to do the cover story, how to do the to sort of manage the population as they might be trying to come close and tell them it's a biological weapon, tell them it's a radiation leak or a chemical leak or a down satellite or create a cover story around a particular event to keep the public away and the police away and everybody away except for the retrieval teams. So as far as disinformation crashes. I'm just not aware of any.
All right. We were talking Roswell earlier, and it obviously, it gets all the headlines, and you referenced cases like the 41 Cape Girardeau crash or the 53 Kingman incident, which are lesser known. Which obscure crash do you think holds the key maybe to blowing this story wide open?
Well, blowing it wide open is all about evidence and the credibility of the evidence. So the one with the most research and evidence is Roswell. Mm-hmm. And I'm most familiar with the Cape Girardeau cache, which is, something. So in this particular case, we have a leaked Majestic document that talks about the 41 crash in Missouri. We have the deathbed confession of Flo Huffman, the wife of Reverend Huffman, who was called to bless the bodies. We have the testimony of the granddaughter, Charlotte Mann, who took the testimony from Flo Huffman. We have the research of myself and Paul Blake Smith, who wrote the book MO41, who continued the research, where I went and looked at historical aerial photography, trying to figure out exactly where it happened. I looked at the police or the fire logs to see when the fire department would have come out to visit. I had remote viewing done of the target site. I took Joe McMonagle, one of the best remote viewers on planet Earth that's still alive, to the site. And so you end up doing, there's the testimony of, I wouldn't call it testimony, but Cape Girardeau, Missouri is the home of Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh Sr., who was very much plugged into Cape Girardeau politics and the environment and so forth. And his son, Junior, who had the radio show in Florida before he passed away, a conservative talk show host, somebody called in and said, tell me about this Missouri 41 crash. And he basically said, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye, but I'm not going to talk about it on air. So it's sort of a weak supportive note. So that's just one example of a less well-known case and its investigation. The fundamental challenge with all these crashes is precisely when and precisely where did it occur? And if you know those two things, you can make tremendous progress about investigating and analyzing what's going on. And it takes a lot of money. If of the 104 cases in the book, you could open to any case, maybe one that's in your state or one that's in, they're in UK, they're in America, they're in South America, and you can drop 50 grand digging in, trying to find the historical evidence, mm-hmm. the newspaper articles, try to find witnesses, try to find their children, try to find the stories. You have to push that needle of authenticity one way or the other. And what's your reward for that? You get to write a book, you probably lose money. It's for posterity, I guess. Maybe you can find a fragment. What's a fragment worth? Linda Moulton Howe sold a piece of the Roswell bismuth magnesium piece for like $35,000. But that's because it had tremendous provenance. And, is it worth $10 million? No, because nobody knows how to make it. You can't seem to make it. How do you space iridium atoms one atom over? It's like no, we don't want to do that.
Well, speaking of fragments, I mean, after 80 plus years of MJ-12 and its precursors and those that came after, where are the MJ-12 whistleblowers with a baggie of fragments or trace evidence?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. There was a lot of people, where there were crashes, where there were fragments, there are people that have picked up material. I mean, one of the biggest ones, allegedly, is the 1897 Aurora, Texas case, where this saucer crashes into a windmill, and the owner of the property sort of gives the alien a proper burial in the local cemetery, and then pushes all the stuff down the well. And but allegedly there were tons of material that the local townspeople all grabbed and wanted a piece, a souvenir, etc. And that's all scattered to the wind. In theory, there's a lot of material there, but it's so old. It's in the grandfather's trunks, or the great grandfather's trunks, and the story may be lost as to what it is or where it came from. And then there's the Roswell case, where you know Mac Brazel has crumpled up foil and things like that. The various, and that's where allegedly one of the Art Bell parts, or the what's called Art's parts, was mailed into Art Bell when he had his famous night radio talk show in the 80s and 90s. And then, of course, the bad guys have lots of material.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, last time I checked, if you want to be a member of that sort of world, okay, well, you're going to have to be a pretty ultra patriot. Why don't you go and graduate from one of the three military academies, first of all, then get psychologically profiled to have the attitude to salute. And yes, I will shoot the soldier or shoot the infant that's standing in the way, and agree to be under constant surveillance, and probably agree to have your memory erased. And I mean, that's a rumor. I don't know if it's true, but people get amnesia all the time. And you can get amnesia by having your hit your head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like the depths of real hardcore protectionism are probably pretty frightening for most people.
Ryan, what are you going to be speaking about at Contact in the Desert?
Oh, that's a great question. So I have two talks. I have a workshop that's focused on the AI ufologist, artificial intelligence ufologist, answering the big questions of ufology. And we're using our UFODEX, UFODEX.com website portal as a tool, which is up available now. It has 660,000 pages of UFO material,
wow.
750 books that have been scanned and indexed that I've curated. I picked the best books in ufology. All the Mutual UFO Network conference proceedings, all the crash retrieval conference proceedings, all the abduction proceedings. There's 25 different conferences in ufology over the past 60, 70 years that some of them just one off, one year, some of them are 3 or 4 years, that have all been scanned and indexed along with all the various periodicals, the Flying Saucer Review, the Mutual UFO Network Journal, the Citizens for UFO Secrecy, and then a variety of efforts that I have used going to the National Archives from and presidential libraries, at least 20,000 pages of material direct from the archives, and FBI files. I mean, I have like 50 different FBI files of people related to MJ-12. Those are particularly hard to get because they're not just on the FBI.gov website. You basically have to file for them. And it takes time. So that's the corpus of knowledge that we are querying. And so during the workshop, we're going to answer every question that we can. You know, why are they here? What's the agenda? Why do they take humans? So What does the government know? How does the government manage the balance of transparency and secrecy? What does this mean for the economic structure and of the world? And in my little book, this is on Amazon, it answers many of those questions in a crisp form. You know, what are the functions of MJ-12 in relation to the extraterrestrial presence? What are their goals and objectives? And, you know, in 2-3 pages, you get a crisp answer. And that fascinated me a lot, because when I first started asking these questions of the tool, I was possessed. I was just like, oh my God, I thought of half of this, but I forgot the other half, and I'm plugged into this.
Mm-hmm.
And its completeness of the answer is what is stunning. And so that's one workshop. And then the other talk or lecture is on gravity control and the silver bullets of aerospace and the history of gravity control and tracing its origins. And right now I firmly believe that we figured out gravity somewhere between 58 and 62. And we started building our own crude and increasingly sophisticated gravity control aircraft, man-made one. And we'll talk about what's the evidence.
Yeah, right about the time Boeing stopped bragging about the fact that they were onto it.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, you know, there's all this buzz in the 50s, and then it suddenly peters out and stops in early 60s.
Contact in the Desert, that's May 29th to June 2nd. Contactinthedesert.com for more information. UFODex.com. We'll put all the links in the episode description when we publish the podcast. Ryan, great to meet you finally, and great speaking with you. Thank you for spending some time.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. And I look forward to seeing you at the Contact in the Desert.
Bye for now.
A new Richard Serrett's Strange Planet drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Feeling drained, foggy, or just not yourself? This could be the effects of low testosterone levels. Henry Meds has you covered. Our testosterone replacement therapy, or TRT, is available in pills, injectable, or daily creams. Many patients report improvements in energy, mood, and focus. Though individual results may vary, TRT may support sexual function. Go to henrymeds.com/TRT to consult a healthcare provider to see if TRT is right for you. Take the first step to feeling your best again and get $50 off your first month at henrymeds.com/TRT.